Please rise for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. We've heard this story many times. We've often been told of the glorious experience it must have been for Peter, James, and John to be on that mountaintop. They had an experience that all other Christians can only hope to have. And sometimes we've been made to feel guilty or less if we haven't had our own mountaintop experience. As if following Jesus always leads us to the mountaintop. I've been stuck on something all week. I've been stuck on the fear that Peter, James, and John felt as they stood on that mountain. And an image came to mind of a moment in my own life, actually several moments, where the casual observer should say that I should be excited and amazed, and instead all I could feel was fear. From this pulpit before, Pastor Sarah shared a little of our story. We have three beautiful children. We have experienced the joy of new life coming into the world. But around each one of those births, we also experienced several miscarriages. And because of those experiences, the mountain that Peter, James, and John are on suddenly looks different to me. Now we need to step back for a moment in Mark's gospel to set the context. Mark's gospel is usually moving us immediately from one scene to the next, but not this time. Jesus had been speaking with his disciples as they were walking between towns, and he asked them an important question. He asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" We know, of course, Peter's answer, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. And Jesus then teaches the disciples about what is to come, how Jesus will undergo great suffering, how he'll be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, how he will die and then rise after 3 days. And what we know and what we remember of this story is that Peter can't take this reality. And so he tries to pull Jesus aside to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your minds not on divine things, but on human things." He goes on to tell the crowds that if any hope to follow, they will have to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow. And after a little more teaching, there is silence. 6 long days pass, and we don't know what happens in the story. Does Peter mope around after being rebuked? Did Jesus and his disciples split for a few days to catch their breath, figure out what comes next? We don't know what happens in the meantime, just that 6 long days later, Jesus, Peter, James, and John head up the mountain. It is on that mountain Jesus is transfigured before his disciples. They see his clothes, his very being change, and the human Messiah becomes the divine Messiah before their eyes. As the scene unfolds, Moses and Elijah appear and speak with Jesus. And Peter, whose mouth is so often ahead of his brain, offers to build three tents because he didn't know what else to say. They were worried and terrified that they could die right there on that mountain. The scene doesn't become any less frightening as a cloud comes over the mountain and the voice of God speaks. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. I want to go back even farther in Scripture for a moment. Do you remember how the Israelites felt when God talked to them? When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die." They couldn't handle God speaking to them directly. The disciples are already scared that they might die when the voice speaks. But as soon as God finishes speaking, they find themselves alone on the mountaintop with Jesus. The fear, the terror they felt left them wondering what had happened. Looking back at this moment, we think that they should only be filled with awe and joy at what they had seen and experienced. As I said earlier, in my life, I've experienced those moments when others have felt great joy and I have felt nothing but fear. When you have experienced a miscarriage, a positive pregnancy test doesn't bring immediate joy. Instead, it brings the fear of, what if we go through this again? And each day can become even more frightening as the time to the last miscarriage approaches. And even if or when that day is past, it doesn't mean that the fear goes away. It just means that the hope that this pregnancy will be different continues to rise. The disciples had been told by Jesus that he will die. How does that shape their experience? Coming down the mountain, Jesus tells the disciples not to tell anyone what they had seen until after the Son of Man has risen from the dead. We see this story through a different set of lenses. We know that Jesus will die, but we also know that after 3 days he will rise again, just as he said. It makes the moments on the mountain look different because the fear gets replaced by the joy in knowing what will truly happen in the end. But the disciples are living this in real time. They don't know the end of the story, and they don't even know if they can trust or understand what Jesus has said to them or what they have just experienced. The fullness of that moment will not be realized until Jesus has risen from the dead. The fear of loss, the reality of death, can be replaced by joy. If you have heard the sound of a baby's first cry, it is overwhelming. It doesn't matter at that moment if you have had a miscarriage or not. This moment of new life breaking forth is an overwhelming miracle. I've said it often that I have experienced this miracle 3 times, but I still don't believe it. This seems true for the Gospel of Mark as well. Mark's gospel doesn't set this story straight. Alternate endings have been written to try to close the story. But it is Mark's gospel that ends with the women leaving the tomb and telling no one what they had seen, for terror and amazement had seized them, for they were afraid. Even though the gospel ends on this cliffhanger, we know that more was said because we know that the tomb was empty. We know that Christ was raised. The disciples leave this mountain, this moment, afraid, with the instructions to tell no one what had happened till after the resurrection. The sight of the empty tomb and the words of the young man leave the women terrified and amazed, and we are told that they tell no one. Was the empty tomb their mountaintop? Their moment filled with fear, not knowing for sure what they had just experienced or what that experience meant. In our own lives of faith, we may experience fear as we try to understand what we have seen and heard. We know that Christ died and was raised. We know that there is no place in heaven or hell where Christ has not been. But it's still more than we can fully know or understand. We know the realities of death in the midst of the promise of new life. We gather for worship, whether in this room or in our home, to have the truth about Jesus revealed to us, to live fully into God's word. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. We gather to have our fear replaced by glimpses or moments of seeing Christ clearly before our eyes, to have the veil removed, the cloud pass away, so that Jesus is transfigured before our eyes again. How do we know that Christ has been raised? How do we know that the disciples and the women shared the story? We know because we know this story. And when God's people, when you and I begin to tell others about what we have seen and heard, when we invite others into this mystery of faith that we share, when we seek with others a glimpse into the kingdom of God, when our fear of death is replaced by the joy of the empty tomb, when we hear the whole creation cry out as new life breaks forth, you may find yourself on the mountaintop filled with fear. But we know how this story ends. We know that death does not win. We know that the beloved Son has risen. Amen.